Scripture is replete with images and stories of journey. For example, the epic journey of Abraham and Sarah from Ur in present-day Iraq, the center of ancient civilization, to what was to become the promised land of Israel. Later, the Israelites escaped from slavery in Egypt, trekking for many years through the wilderness of the Sinai on their return to a promised homeland, which likely none of them had ever seen. And in the New Testament, Paul makes his way across the Mediterranean world, spreading the good news of the gospel and proclaiming in the profound words of our second reading today that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It sometimes must seem as if the people of the Bible cannot sit still. They are always on the road. Sort of like my saying about the church, we are to be on the move. But these are not tourists or sightseers on holiday. There is purpose behind each journey recounted in Scripture. Each crossing comes with promise and proclamation. If you obey my voice and keep my covenant, the Lord tells the Israelites in our first reading, you shall be my treasured possession, a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. The journey will have a purpose. It will be worth the effort. Israel must only keep all these words of the Lord has commanded. In response to the Lord's challenge, the people proclaim, perhaps a bit too enthusiastically, everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do. As the Israelites were to discover, and as we ourselves know only too well, that is often easier said than done. We see it all around our nation today, and over the past weeks, we have seen so many acts of violence against our marginalized citizens that now many finally are responding, yes, sometimes in not so good ways, yes, but we are called to love all and do everything that Jesus has called us to do. We must find a way, however difficult, to support this movement. It is not, and it should not, go away. Jesus is also on a journey in our gospel account today. He travels about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. There is a note of urgency in his travels, for our Lord knows the anxiety and helplessness of the people. The harvest is plentiful, he observes poignantly, but the laborers are few. And without the harvest to feed them, the people will starve. Jesus commissions his newly minted apostles to enter the harvest and to journey to the people with the message of his kingdom. His instructions to the apostles, direct and insistence, begin with one word, go. No ifs and or buts, just go. And as you go, proclaim the good news. Avoid for now Gentile and Samaritan. Make a beeline instead for those in need of the Lord's comfort, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. To these lost sheep, the apostles are to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has come near. To those who are infirm or anxious, they bring the healing and hope of the kingdom. And to those without means, they are to give without payment. This is indeed good news. The apostles travel afar to proclaim that the kingdom has come near. Not a kingdom of territory and frontiers, but a movable kingdom, accessible to those who yearn for it, a kingdom where the fearful are welcomed in, where everyone belongs. No immigration problems here. And who are the lost sheep today? The lost sheep of Jesus' time are the same as our institutions that believe they are better than the people they serve. They are those who discriminate against anyone not like them. They are our neighbor, and at times, they are us. Yet for us as Christians, we have been called to go. Go out into the harvest and be the laborers. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Tough work, yes. Yet work we are called to nonetheless. Unlike earthly kingdoms, which are subject to war and dissension, the kingdom the apostles proclaim brings reconciliation, peace, love. Yet this kingdom of the heart is still not pie in the sky. It is the promise and proclamation made anew to each generation of God's people. It is the fulfillment of covenant. The kingdom is still near to those who seek its comfort today, right here, right now. It is not bound to this earth any more than we are. Its gates are opened wide in spite of, or perhaps because of, our sin and despair. We have a share in this kingdom as God's people by adoption. If the crowds of Jesus's day were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, as our Lord describes them, the people of our world are hardly less anxious and fearful. 2,000 years may have come and gone, but the human heart has not changed all that much. Our communities are still fractured by mistrust and suspicion. Violence, war, racism tear us apart. Diversity and distinctions among peoples and individuals do not bring joy and wonder at the greatness of God's work among and within us, but become instead stumbling blocks to understanding harmony, building community, and being colorblind. Just as our baptismal covenant tells us, we are to respect the dignity of every human being. Yet, in the midst of human misfortune and pain, the kingdom still comes near to each of us. God is still placing hope in us, you and me, to bring about that kingdom. The harvest of which our Lord speaks is full and ready to be gathered in. Then as now, it is not so much a harvest of grain and grape as it is of spiritual nourishment and the sustenance found in the nearness of God. The laborers are still few, but go and proclaim, God commands nevertheless. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. No small task. But then we need not travel far to find those in need of the good news of the kingdom. They are as near to us as is the kingdom itself. In fact, they are the kingdom. For our part, we know we need only brave our fear. And with the Israelites of old zealously proclaim everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do.